on and set myself up. So good morning, St. Mark's. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Amanda and I'm the curate, the very unprepared curate this morning. But then again, it is, what day is it today, Trevor? Mock the curate day or something, apparently. So, it's all good fun. So, the story of creation in Genesis 1 and 2. And the world was lovely and clean and perfect. It was a bit like when snow falls and everything is beautiful and crisp and white before anyone has a chance to walk on it and turn it into brown slush. Or that smell of fresh cut grass that's just so attractive before it starts to go a bit brown and rotten. Or I was thinking actually maybe one of Martha's cakes, which are absolutely beautiful. And we know they're delicious, but we don't really want to cut into them and spoil all the amazing things that she does with them. But you know, people quite often ask me, why? Why did God bother to make the earth? Why did he bother to make humans when he knew that we would mess up? That this beautiful, shiny, perfect world would become slushy and brown and just a little bit rotten. Why bother when he knew that the humans that he'd created to be in relationship with himself would turn away, would do their own thing, would fight and maim each other and not follow his perfect plan? Why bother when he knew that the pain and the suffering and sadness would become part of human life? But you know, God had a plan, even at the outset. Even as he created, he had a plan for what if it all goes horribly wrong. God did the risk assessment before risk assessments were even thought of. And we see evidence of that plan right here in Genesis 1. Right here in the creation of the stars. In Genesis 1:14, day 4 of creation, it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the days from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years." God had a plan to ensure that the world he created would eventually be restored to his original creation. He had a plan to ensure that the people that he had created in his own image would eventually be restored to a relationship with himself, and that they would be able to live life in all its fullness, the life that he had intended them to live. So what was that plan? Well, the clue is kind of in Advent. Our journey through Advent this year will be looking at that plan through the lens of the stars. The stars that were put in place to mark the sacred times. The sacred times that reveal God's plan. So without giving too much away, next week we're looking at God's plan to make a nation of his own, a nation to bless all nations, that will lead people back to himself, that will revealed in the promise to Abraham to make his offspring more numerous than the stars in the sky. The following week, we're going to look at the sovereign star. We're going to look and think about the foretelling of Jesus in Isaiah. And then on the 23rd, as part of our traditional carol service, we're going to think about the star that appeared at Jesus' birth. The star that the wise men followed to find and to worship Jesus. And on Christmas Eve, shameless plug here for our Christmas Eve service, we are going to think about the whole nativity story as we celebrate with our Follow the Star festival. 5 till 7, Christmas Eve, here. It's going to be amazing. Okay, come back for it if you don't normally. Advent is a journey of preparation. It's a journey of thinking about God's plan. And it's a journey that as we think about Jesus' first arrival, as we celebrate Jesus' arrival as a baby. It's also a time of preparation to look forward to the culmination of God's plan. Because we're kind of in an in-between bit of the plan at the moment. Jesus arrives, but Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back, not as a baby, but as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And that's going to bring in the kingdom of heaven fully and restore God's perfect plan. But Advent is also a time for us to prepare. It's a time to think about our journey, our walk with God, to think about God's plan in our lives and to get ourselves back on track with God. It could be the start of the journey. You might never have thought about Jesus and God's plan for you before. And Advent's a really good time to start to investigate that if you haven't done so already. Because God had a master plan, but he also has a plan for each one of us. God is interested in each one of us. From the youngest person here, which might be Nala Ray, but it might not, to the oldest person here. I have no idea who that is. That's not you. It's not you, Jane. You are definitely not the oldest person here, I am sure. Might be Dorothy. So, God has a plan for each and every one of us. And each one of us has a part to play in the master plan, in the plan that God intended. So how do we know this? How do we know that God has a plan for us? Well, second Sunday school, what's the second Sunday school answer? First Sunday school answer is always, yeah? So the second Sunday school answer, if it's not Jesus, because the Bible tells us so. Remember that song? So, second Sunday school answer. We know that God has a plan for us. And we know we're part of it. And we know he loves us because the Bible tells us so. In Genesis 1:24, from our reading. Well, not quite from our reading, but in the actual, it says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and over all the wild animals and over the creatures that move along the ground. God created us in his image to be in charge, to take care of the world that he had created. From day 6, the day when God's creation went from being good to very good. Mankind were given center stage of his plan. And God walked with Adam and Eve and spent time with Adam and Eve in the garden that he had created. In chapter 3, it talks about, of Genesis, it talks about God walking in the garden looking for Adam and Eve. Now, Adam and Eve had messed up by then and made it brown and slushy, but that's a completely different sermon. In the story of Noah, we see creation restored and God entering into a covenant relationship with Noah and through him his family as he repeats the instruction to fill the earth. If you want to know about God's plan for Abraham and for Israel, then you need to come back next week. But the story of the Old Testament is that God is calling his people back into relationship with himself. In Jeremiah 29:11, it tells us that God has good plans for our lives. In Zephaniah 3:17, it tells us that God rejoices over us with singing. The whole of the book of Song of Songs is a love story between Solomon and a Shimonite woman, but it's also a metaphor for God wooing us, for God calling us into a relationship with himself. And there's lots more. And then we get to, I think I've got these the wrong way around. It's that one. Then we get to the New Testament and the beginning of the last part of God's plan. John 3:16 is probably the best known verse in the Bible. And the Passion Translation puts it like this. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and to condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it. God wants to be in a relationship with each one of us. God has a plan for each one of us individually, and each one of us has a part to play in God's master.